With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
It's Eurobash and it's episode 40. What a milestone to reach once again. Breaking through these boundaries like Niamh's the true brother. But once again, we are joined by Niall McGrath, the Crown Prince of Porto. He is back after Chris Field's fantastic guest spot last week. Niall is back to regain his throne.
How are you, sir? I didn't like the abuse. I was very insulted with the abuse over in Portugal when I was editing this last Monday.
Did he hit your confidence? Did he knock it like while you were searching feverishly through Tinder?
No.
Good.
No. Bring it, bitches.
How did you feel like you've calmed down?
Called himself that the housewife's choice. Come on, get out of here.
He's handsome.
Still.
Are you eating while we're doing this? Yeah.
Sorry.
That is fantastic. That is professional.
Sorry, hungry.
Yeah. So just stop whenever you're ready. There, chewing into the. So we had Chris on last week. A lot has happened since. A lot has happened. Continued to happen. In the world of MMA, we had Bellator 222 last weekend, plenty of talking points. We have a big weekend ahead with Bellator London, UFC Greenville is this weekend, if I'm not mistaken.
Yep.
And, of course, we will be touching on Bare Knuckle FC, Niall's favourite combat sports platform at the moment, of course. There should be plenty of rants in this week's episode, and we are going to begin those rants at the very end of the headlines. But let's get started on them now. It's finally happened, Niall. Leon Edwards versus Rafael Dos Anjos.
Yeah,
will headline July 20th San Antonio card. How do you feel about it? I'm very happy it's happened.
Yeah, I'm delighted for Leon. We've been talking about this for quite some time in terms of him getting a big name and a big fight, and that is certainly a bigger name, in my opinion, than Jorge Masvidal, even though that shite should have been done promotional purposes alone. But this is a big, big challenge for Leon and probably the biggest. It is the biggest of his career.
And we will be hearing from Leon's brother, Fabian, who fights this weekend later on. He had some big things to say about that fight. Also, we have Poland's Oscar Pojciota has been booked to fight jiu-jitsu legend Rodolfo Vieira in his UFC debut. That's set for August. Pojciota's coming off a loss to Merchart, and Rodolfo Vieira's perfect 5-0 so far in his MMA career. I believe he was playing his trade with ACB the last time I saw him, or ACA, whatever they're called now. Fedor Emelianenko signs a new multi-fight deal with Bellator. What do you think of that one, Noel? That's a bit...
Yawn.
I mean, coming off that loss to Bader, I think a lot of people thought we might have seen the last of him.
Yeah, man, it's just, you know, Bellator at the moment for me, again, last weekend, you're just seeing old guys that are sort of past it, and you obviously saw Chael Sonnen retire.
That was my next headline. Chael Sonnen retires, Noel. How'd you feel about that?
Right, we're in the headlines. It's about time. No offence to Chael or anything, but this has been a slow progression for the last 5 years, possibly. And it's, again, the same with Fedor, as you were talking about there. How many people are really invested in seeing Fedor fight? I'm not so sure. And this tends to be the development strategy with Bellator, and I think they need to really sort of change something.
It's interesting. Chael, to be fair, he's... I see him as an innovator, as selling fights in the fight game. I mean, this is a guy that maybe people didn't think had the most remarkable skill set, but marketing himself in a way that he was constantly in main events. He fought for two UFC titles.
Was a matter of seconds away from winning one of them.
Yeah. And I still remember that night vividly.
Yeah, same.
When Anderson locked up that triangle choke.
UFC 129, if I'm not mistaken.
Really,
I think it was.
Was that the rematch?
We'll double check that.
We're not good at that stuff. But
yeah, numbers are not our strong point.
Farewell, Chael. Thank you for all the laughs and the LOLs and the headlines. A lot of people weren't happy with me calling him a legend of the sport when he retired, but... However,
he is. I agree with you in a certain.
Yeah, it's not like I'm not trying to say he's the greatest fighter of all time. Totally agree with you. He was an innovator in terms of what he did in terms of marketing himself. Shamil Abdurakhimov will take on Curtis Blaydes on the UFC 242 card. He rides a 3-fight win streak into that, and of course, Blaydes is coming off that win against Justin Willis, another Russian on that 242 card. Interesting. Cage Warriors 108 revealed with a heavy Welsh class there. This is the first one without Jack Shore in quite a while, of course. And as Shore predicted, Mason Jones is at the very front of that promotional push, and we did expect that. He is a fantastic prospect at lightweight. I'm looking forward to seeing who they put in front of him. Bit of a weird one here. Mamed Khalidov arrested for his supposed or alleged involvement in the importation of cars or something like that.
Weird.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of, like, I've talked to a lot of Polish people since this was announced, and they kind of said there was a similar thing with Materla a few years ago that turned out to be absolutely nothing. But the Polish police like to kind of send an example that nobody is safe, if you know what I mean. They can get anyone. Not that nobody's safe, but like nobody is above the law, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So
we can get you.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And finally, the Bellator card has been announced today with some very strange news. A split main card. So, 3 fights on Channel 5, 2 fights on Sky Sports. I think this is a bad idea. There's no casual crossover there. Like, I mean, people are just going to be watching on Sky Sports. Sky Sports aren't going to advertise. And now, for the rest of the card, go on over to Channel 5, which, of course, you highlighted on many occasions that Irish people can't even get, right? Like, I mean, it's not...
It's largely unavailable. If you're a Virgin Media customer in this country, you don't have access to Channel 5. So
I am.
Yeah, you don't have access to Channel 5. So you could be watching this on Sky Sports, and it's just like, all right, let's go to a movie. Let's watch half the movie and not watch the second half. This is effectively what it's like. Absolutely ridiculous, again, from Bellator. If they really want to get this market nailed down, they have to come up with a better TV strategy. And it's very frustrating, again, for the fans on this side of the pond, that they're going to be able to, a large portion, they're only going to be able to consume the first part of this card, which I believe is going to be headlined by Paul Daly and James Gallagher, is going to be the co-main event on the Sky Sports portion.
There's a lot of co-main and main events going on here.
It's ridiculous, and I can't believe that Bellator have put themselves in this position.
I'll tell you one thing I'm a bit weird about as well, right? So everybody knows that Fabian is this big deal. He is a huge deal. When I interviewed him for this episode, we hadn't got the information yet. We assumed he was going to be on the main card, so apologize for that in advance. But to have a UK talent like that and to not put him on a TV broadcast, to not put Mike Shipman and Koslov and Stenis on this broadcast, just to sell that fight in the future, just at least one of them, and show some clips of the other fight that happened, how are people meant to get invested in this guy? Like, you're not going to get any casual people tuning in on the Bellator app. No one's going to be like, well, let's whip out the Bellator app here and randomly see what fight is on.
Yeah, but I think we're at the point even now, whether, obviously we will watch it, but there comes a point when there's just, are you going to just watch the UFC, or are you going to watch Bellator? What are you going to watch? You're going to watch Bare Knuckle? There's a lot of decisions being made on Saturday night, and this further affects this decision by them switching channels. People aren't going to be arsed. They're going to stick to one and watch one and not have to go a big battle and watch the second portion of a card. So I think this could possibly put a lot of people off, and they'll just go and consume, a different organisation or a different fight platform, which many will.
Sometimes I feel like I'm too harsh with Bellator, but then when I tweeted that out today, seeing the reaction of it, like, not one person was like, oh, yay, I love this. Not one person was like, this is great. And I even talked to some managers involved and some of the fighters today that missed out on places on these televised situations, and they're not happy about it. Like, these guys deserve a bigger platform. Like, and from what I hear, Melvin Manoff commands a big payday there, so I guess he automatically has to show his value on the card somehow.
But Sky Sports must be frustrated by this as well. Sky must...
I can't imagine it's going to do them any favours when it comes to renegotiate. Like, are we going to have main cards here? Like, especially when you consider, I'd say the big event that's happened on Sky Sports so far is the Irish one. I'd say that was huge views.
Easily.
So, I mean, this just isn't going to be the same,
No, it's not. And it's, it's a poor strategy. And again, how long has this been going on? And, I know we've seen the US events, fair play to them for nailing down that slot in Sky Sports, but these are the big ones the European fans want to see. And I think we look back at Bellator Dublin, we saw the traction online was absolutely insane for this week.
Yeah.
And I expect the online traction for this event to way surpass what the UFC are doing this Saturday night as well.
Mm.
And it's just going to be a bit of a letdown, I think, when the fans have to try and watch it on Saturday night.
Yes, well, without further ado, let's go to our first interview of the day. It's Rafael Lovato. Oh, wait, hang on. I should actually talk about the fact that I was at the press conference last week. My bad.
I was in London.
It was hectic. It was like about a 20-hour round trip all in all.
Hey,
it was
London.
A lot of video encoding and uploading and everything. But lucky enough, my MMA fighting gang had my back there and they got everything up beautifully. Shout out to Jose and Casey and Danny. Thank you very much. But it was pretty uneventful. I guess it was a breath of fresh air.
I saw bits of it.
Yeah, I mean, there was...
Dustin's kind of boring, isn't he?
Well, I think both guys just have a lot of respect for each other. And the way press conferences have been trending, like, I mean, I think we needed a step back. Like, we can't be going out and, like, talking the same shit and pushing the boundaries in terms of...
Yeah, I agree.
So, I mean, it was kind of a breath of fresh air in that sense. I was a bit disappointed we didn't get an interview with the guys after or a scrum.
They didn't do an interview with scrum?
No, they did interviews with their partners.
Yeah, I saw that, yeah.
And Nick Pete got some good stuff out of Khabib about Liverpool, I saw, but...
Yeah, I actually turned it off when I heard that part. I'm not even lying.
That was the only clip.
He named the 2005 team. That was enough for me. See you later, Khabib.
But, it was good. It was just, it's just a weird one having the press conference there in London at all. Like, and it didn't really occur to me until I spoke to Abby over there. And Abby was like, well, this is our market. You know, this is the EMEA market. And this would be the main office of that situation. So,
yeah, London would be their HQ, yeah.
I saw a few people disappointed that they didn't ask about the pay-per-views, but I mean, it's a BT Sport move there. Like, I mean, there's no one from BT Sport at these press conferences. And to be fair, Sean Sheehan got onto the UFC last week, and surprise, surprise, they have no answers. But yeah. It did come out during the broadcast over the weekend, during the Bellator broadcast, I believe. Or no, it couldn't have been that. Maybe it was 238, that it is going to be $19.95 to buy that pay-per-view. How many are they going to sell? Five.
Listen, I was away last week when I heard this news, and I was staying off Twitter as much as I could last week just to get away from the madness. But, you know, I was absolutely appalled when I saw that. I think it's an absolute joke. We obviously have to pay for our subscriptions here for the channels and then a pay-per-view on top of it. Like, they haven't done a good enough job, BT Sports, in the first place, I think, with their original programming. So I think first get that right. Then once you start selling your original programming, if the sport and the demand is big enough, which obviously it is, but not for pay-per-view, then make a decision to do that. It's way too early for the UFC to be doing pay-per-view fights on this side of the pond. Conor McGregor, maybe, yes. I'm not sure about anyone else.
I agree with all your points, my friend, my beautiful, beautiful friend. Right, so yeah, now I can happily move along.
Sorry, rant over.
We'll be talking about Porto and all the beautiful Tinder delights at the last portion of the show, and we will be going into that in depth, of course. But up first now, it's Rafael Lovato Jr., a guy who my old Royal Grappling Academy friends would be a big fan of, an absolute jiu-jitsu legend. He obviously takes on Gegard Mousasi this weekend. It's a huge fight for him. He's 9-0. He's had a fantastic run so far. He's putting it together with his hands as well as showcasing that fantastic jiu-jitsu ability. So really looking forward to this one. Obviously a huge step up. Great to speak to Rafael Lovato. Thank you so much to Dan for setting this up for me. And we will be back in 15. Thank you. And now I am joined by the headliner for Bellator London. It is Mr. Rafael Lovato Jr. who takes on Gegard Mousasi for the middleweight title. Rafael, how are you? And thank you so much for joining us.
I'm doing great. Just made it to London yesterday. Feels great to be here. Thanks for having me on.
Do you kind of take a lot from your international experience in jiu-jitsu when you're traveling around like this? I mean, does this feel like any other competition for you because you've been around the world with your stellar career in BJJ?
I mean, this is obviously a little bigger than that. Like, I mean, this has been a dream for quite some time. So, there's a little bit of an extra inspiration and motivation feeling that I have now, but definitely all the international competition. You know, I started traveling to Brazil and competing there when I was just 16 years old. So I'm very, very much used to, you know, packing up and going somewhere else to to perform and you know, feel the adrenaline in another place and the different culture and everything. So it's nice to, it's actually a really cool feeling to do that now for MMA. So it's sort of the same thing, but even extra fun, extra inspiration, you know, like I mentioned. So it feels awesome.
You know, when you took off on this journey with MMA, there's so many people that are so skeptical when people transition to MMA from jiu-jitsu, and you've obviously had a fantastic run. I mean, do you feel like you've proved a lot of people wrong with the situation you're in now, without even winning the title, just what you've done so far? Because I certainly do.
Well, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't really think about what, you know, the people out, I don't know, like, as far as proving them wrong, I never put that in my mind as something that motivates me. All I ever feel is just a lot of positivity from the jiu-jitsu community and people that support me and are behind me. And then the ones that really know me know that I'm a martial artist. I'm not just a jiu-jitsu guy. My whole life has been martial arts. I was training martial arts since I was, you know, able to walk. Well before I ever got involved in jiu-jitsu, you know. So I grew up into this, you know, under my father, and so that's why I started MMA, was just to fulfill like my martial arts journey. Jiu-jitsu was definitely my number one passion and what I dedicated my life to, but it's just one element of my life. My life as a whole is that of a martial artist, not just jiu-jitsu. So those people that know me, you know, from training since I was a little kid and really know my story, they, you know, they saw this coming, more or less. Of course, it still feels a little surreal to be here, but it's sort of always been the dream. You know, it was just kind of doing it at the right moment and doing it in a way where I would never look back in jiu-jitsu and say, oh, I wish I would have, you know, stayed a little longer or done a little more. You know, I'm completely satisfied with what I've done in jiu-jitsu, and, you know, maybe started MMA a little later than what most would have, but it all felt right. It felt like the right time. And since, you know, coming on this journey, it's almost like I got to feel young again, you know, and be hungry and climb my way up all over again, the same way I did in jiu-jitsu. And it's been an incredible ride so far.
It actually makes a lot of sense what you're saying when you talk about being a lifelong martial artist, because your striking is absolutely unbelievable. You certainly don't look like a beginner when it comes to striking, but has that been something you've been able to really hone in on since transitioning over? Because I've been blown away what you've been able to do in the stand-up sections of the fights.
Yeah, I mean, you know, obviously, you know, I'm more comfortable on the ground, and that's where I'm world class. But I every fight, every camp, I feel so much improvement and get so much more comfortable in what I'm able to do on the feet, especially when I had a couple fights where, you know, I wasn't able to just get a quick takedown or something like that. I fought a good wrestler, and I had to stay on the feet a little longer. So that experience helped me. But I, you know, the first martial arts I did was striking arts. You know, I used to box amateur whenever I was a kid, and, you know, just growing up under my father, like he was always a believer in being a complete martial artist. You know, he came from a Jeet Kune Do background. And so, you know, Jeet Kune Do was sort of like the first mixed martial art. Mm. You studied all arts and you developed your own system of combat within each range. And so whenever I was younger, I you know, loved to throw punches and kicks. It felt good. And I've got to just tap back into that feeling, you know, and putting it all together and, you know, really discovering who I am, and how I like to move, you know, now, you know, taking all that experience and wrapping it into one. And I have a great team, you know, my striking coaches from Evolution Thai, they're amazing. They're black belts from the shoot box lineage under Rafael Cordero. So they have the most, what I feel is like sort of a powerful system of Muay Thai, and my jiu-jitsu, the Hibeto jiu-jitsu, I feel like is this powerful system of jiu-jitsu, and I get to put it all together, and it's just been a lot of fun, mixing it all and discovering new ways to move and do what I love.
When you consider Gegard Mousasi, a lot of people see Gegard as one of the greatest middleweights in the world. A lot of people feel as though if he was still in the UFC, he would be right at the top of that division, possibly even being the champion. Do you consider him a big step up in competition? I know you've fought fantastic fighters up until this point, but is this a significant step up, do you believe?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, he's definitely by far the best that I've fought. And solidify himself as one of the best of all time in his weight class, 100%. I've been watching him for a long time. I've been a fan of his for a long time. I feel like I've been climbing ever since the beginning. Every fight I've fought has been a jump up in competition, and everybody's had a lot more experience than me. And, I've been the underdog, this is it. I mean, I've been climbing the mountain, and he's the mountaintop. He's the peak, and it's beautiful. It's perfect because I wouldn't want to just, take one little step up to get to the top of the mountain. I want to have to look back and say, okay, there's no going back. You know what I mean? Like, we're going all the way to the top, I want to defeat a legend to win the belt. You know what I mean? That's the way it should be. It should be the biggest test to get that belt. And so it's perfect. It's an honor to fight someone I have so much respect for, and carries himself as a martial artist the way he does. It's just been that much more inspiration for me, just giving me an incredible feeling, and I'm very much looking forward to the challenge.
We spoke about the development of your striking earlier, and I don't think anybody doubts that you have the advantage if this fight hits the ground, but do you feel there is a significant gulf in the striking, or do you believe you'll be able to match him there? I know Gegard has some fantastic K1 fights under his belt, but do you believe, like, in this rule set, you can match him on the feet?
Well, I mean, it's an MMA fight, so, if it was a pure kickboxing match, I'd probably be a little more nervous than what I am now. But you see it all the time, like, even grapplers, great kickboxers who on paper have much better stand-up than their opponents, who might even be a grappler. Once the threat of the takedown is there, things happen. You're wearing little gloves, so it's not like I'm going out there with the mindset of I'm going to knock him out or anything like that. But, the goal is different. The goal is just to, find the right opportunity, keep it close, mix everything up as well as I possibly can, just be the best version of myself. I don't go in there really comparing our striking skills necessarily. I'm comparing our mixed martial arts skills, once again, he's a great challenge, but I don't have to just wrap my head around, okay, I got to go in there and box with him or kickbox or anything like that. So, he has his jab and he has, great technical stand up and everything. I have at least the threat of putting him on the ground. He has to be worried about that, and that can change things.
Absolutely, absolutely. And this is a kind of a trend that's becoming more prominent, getting celebrated jiu-jitsu stars like yourself to MMA. We saw Rodolfo Vieira has signed for the UFC recently. We have Gary Tonin in ONE Championship. You know what I mean? Do you still feel like BJJ is one of the best bases, if not the best, for MMA? Because obviously, right back to the birth of the UFC, this is what we saw. Do you feel like it's nearly like history repeating itself with guys like you?
You know, I think anyone that's an elite level in any art can make the transition. You know, really, you need to have, you know, at some point you got to be complete. I mean, there's no doubt about that. I'm always going to be a believer in jiu-jitsu and an ambassador for jiu-jitsu and passing that on just because of what the art means to me on a like deeper, like spiritual level. I think there's certain things that you can gain through jiu-jitsu and spreading jiu-jitsu for everybody. You know, not everyone can go do Muay Thai and get hit in the face and, you know, do that for 10 years. You know what I mean? And just like not everyone can do that. Not everyone can go into a wrestling room and can survive a wrestling room and really grow. Jiu-jitsu, you can have zero athletic experience. You can just be, you know, a shy, unathletic person with no friends, sort of a, you know, quiet person, whatever. And you can start jiu-jitsu and really grow and, you know, have this community and, you know, sort of toughen you up. And it just teaches you so much about life. And for me, it's the martial art that can give back to everybody, in a major way. You know what I mean? Striking arts, that can be very difficult. And wrestling is amazing for MMA, and definitely, like, you know, whenever I have a son one day, you know, I want him to wrestle, you know, cause I want him to get that toughness. I want him to be able to do takedowns and grind. You know, not the average person can't just go into a wrestling room and survive, you know what I mean? And do that long term. But I feel like jiu-jitsu, it's for everybody. And so, you know, I'm always going to preach jiu-jitsu, as far as when it comes to actually competing in combat. I think anyone that reaches a world-class level in any art is going to be dangerous. You know, they're going to be dangerous when it gets into MMA, but definitely you have to have the compliment, you know, like wrestlers that can box, those guys always do really well. Jiu-jitsu guys that have Muay Thai can do really well. You know, jiu-jitsu guys that have great wrestling on top of it, okay, you know, anything. It's going to have to be at least a duo, you know, if not a trio at some point. Right. But for me, I'm always going to say jiu-jitsu, 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 yes.
Right. Well, final question, Rafael. You know, you have reached the top of the ladder in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, one of the greatest competitors of all time in that sport. How would this belt rank in comparison to the honors that you won in jiu-jitsu? I mean, would this be even bigger for you having transitioned across from jiu-jitsu, or how would it rank?
Oh, well, it's really hard to put a you know, a rank on it. Yes. You know, jiu-jitsu, like I said, is my first passion and my first dream was to become a black belt world champion, and it's hard to say that this is going to mean more to me personally than that. You know, in the end, it's another dream. You know, but I'm at a different stage of my life. And so obviously at this point, like winning a second or another jiu-jitsu world title would not be the same as this. Right. So now this is everything for me. And for me, like looking at my whole life, the way this puts together my whole life, you know, that's something jiu-jitsu can't do because that's just one element. This is everything. You know, I have in my corner, I have every martial artist teacher that I've ever had in my life is going to be there in my corner.
Wow, you know, that's what I mean? Amazing.
So it's like, you know, it's a more complete representation of my life's work. And obviously career wise, you know, it'll be the biggest night of my career. But personally, the satisfaction, the emotion, the way I'm going to feel, you know, it's going to be the same. It's just, I'm at a different stage, you know, and, yeah, it's going to be the dream come true.
Rafael, thank you so much. It's an absolute honor to speak to you, and I cannot wait to see this main event. All the best, my friend.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
And what a pleasure it was to speak to Rafael Lovato Jr. I'm really looking forward to that fight this weekend. A big championship fight for Europe. It's something that we always, always welcome. So thank you very much to him. Bellator was the big card last weekend as well, my friend. Did you get to watch it? It was actually really quite good. I feel like I had good online traction as well in terms of online in the UK and Ireland. Like, I saw a lot of people talking about it, probably the most since that Dublin card.
Yeah, I didn't really consume what was going on Twitter. I watched the card. I thought it was a decent card.
Yeah.
A lot of empty seats, it seemed, in the upper tiers of Madison Square Garden, which I noticed. I was quite interested to see what kind of audience Bellator would pull in. It was a decent card. It was, you know, again, I'm going to moan about, you know, Machida and Sonnen being matched. It feels like we've just sort of sick of this kind of matchup with Bellator. You know, really good.
It slowed it down, to be honest, you know.
It did. And it was obviously hard to see Chael take those two knees, obviously the first one and then the second one.
Fair play to him. We're staying in there after the first one.
The first one was vicious. It was very well timed.
But let's start off at the very top of the card. Rory McDonald and Naaman Gracie. I don't know if you saw it because this was an awful lot online. To me, Rory still seems a bit strange. Like,
totally agree. I was going to say this.
People keep on saying, like, oh, it's all good now. And I'm like, no, it's not.
It looks like there's no killer instinct anymore. He's just missing something for me. And I know the commentary tomorrow now goes, oh, you know, he's back. And
even the way he's speaking.
Yeah.
A lot of Jesus. And look, fair play to you if you love Jesus. But it just seems like his personality has become the evangelist rather than the fighter.
The psychopath that we used to know in the UFC. Yeah.
And look, these fights are going to change it, man. Being in wars is going to change it and all that stuff. But what we're interested in is the fighting, right?
Yeah.
And I can't...
Well, really, has he been the same since Robbie Lawler? I don't think he has.
Well, he looked fantastic against Lima when he first came into the Bellator. It was really the last fight against Fitch. Like, to draw with Fitch... All due respect to Fitch, but Rory McDonald, you're expecting Rory McDonald to go through him.
Definitely.
There was passages in the Naaman Gracie fight where I thought, there it is, where, you know, he's landing big grounded shots on him. But at the same time, I don't know if he's the same dude anymore.
I'd
be happy to see him hang them up after this Lima fight, if that's the way. He's saying it's not going to be at the time that Coker says he wants it to be at, but... I don't know. I don't believe that he's fully vested anymore.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think there's something missing in terms of performances that we used to see from Rory McDonald, in terms of maybe that real killer instinct, the will to inflict damage and pain upon an opponent. I thought he was very dominant in large portions of that fight. I think he was in trouble maybe twice. There was a couple of heel hook attempts from Gracie.
I thought he dealt with the ground stuff very well. Yeah. I thought he looked really, really good in his takedowns. But
it's just that X factor, isn't it? That you just feel as though...
Where's the exclamation mark?
Yeah, exactly, 100%. And you know, I think when a guy starts doing that, and he's quite young, obviously, as well still, but he's been in those wars, and I think...
He's miles on the clock. We know it's about miles on the clock, and that lad's been fighting since he's two.
Agreed. And yes, and I wouldn't have anything wrong with Rory McDonald, you know, finishing off this tournament and then maybe calling it a day, definitely.
This is where I'm at with this. I think Lima's going to beat him in this rematch.
Yeah, Lima's looked brilliant, man.
You know, I'm confident that he's going to get it done.
But look at Lima's last performance.
Can you remember how we felt about this fight the first time it was happening? Now, we weren't saying Lima's going to get crushed or anything, but we were very confident that Rory would get it done.
We were.
Just based on, even though he's advancing through this bracket, he's not had horrendous results. Just based on what he's saying and everything like that, it just doesn't feel like he's going to win this rematch. You know,
yeah. And I think if we look at what Liam has done, it's been quite the opposite. It's been, you know, there's been that exclamation
MVP.
Mark. MVP.
The exclamation mark of exclamation marks.
That was just an unbelievable finish. And just the manner and the cold, calm, calculated manner in which he did it. I think, you know, that will stand to him in this fight going in against Rory McDonald. He'll have learned things from that fight against Rory. And I think Rory, as we've said, is on a little bit of maybe a slide.
Yes, absolutely. And moving on, we talked about Chael and the Ota Machida. And thank you very much, Chael, for what you've contributed to the sport.
Yeah,
but the one thing I'll say for Lyoto on this, it doesn't really tell me anything about where he is.
No, again, this
is what you're saying. Like, it's hard to know what they're fighting for here. Like,
it's they're just placed because they're names.
Yeah,
they're old.
Maybe the odds looking at the winner of Machida and Rafael Lovato this weekend. You know,
but let's be honest. Like, I think, you know,
but it didn't make him didn't advance his position. Win,
it doesn't do anything. He's there. It's like Bellator signing these guys and their statues. And you don't know where they're going to go, left or right. They're going to go forward. They're going to go back. What are they there for? They're there because they're old names of the sport. And to me, it's very frustrating. You know, build something. Get a model going here.
Say like Fabian Edwards on a televised event.
That's
maybe
what I'm saying. Push, like, be a young promotion. Give young promotion, you know, give these young guys a shot on the big stage instead of us constantly seeing these fights that, you know, I think a large portion of fans don't even want to see anymore.
Dylan Danis got a submission win, first round armbar against Max Humphrey, revealed after the fact that he suffered an LCL injury. And as I believe John Kavanagh said on Ariel Helwani's show today, that it was in his last training session.
He also called John Jones a bitch.
Yeah. And who else did he call out? Someone, Rory McDonald.
Rory McDonald.
Yeah. Look, he went in there. He got a lot of eyes on the event, and he won. That's exactly what I expected. Chris Fields was talking about last week. Absolutely expected this. Didn't think, you know, he was up to much against Max Humphrey. You know, his takedowns were a lot better. His stance looks a lot more developed in terms of striking, but no surprises, we'll say that.
Not at all. I just, you know, the only thing I would like to see is, you know, if you're going to come out in a microphone and make comments like this, do it after a victory against a higher level opponent.
I don't have any problem with the level of opponent, really. It's just, I think it's because Dylan's so inflammatory.
I've no problem with the level of opponent, but I'm saying, you know,
treat it for what it is.
Yes, treat it for what it is.
Right, I understand. Patrick Mix calls out James Gallagher.
He looked good, dude.
Wow, it was a shock win, man. Straight on 19, his back.
20 seconds.
The human backpack, Patrick Mix, must be Irish. Ricky Bandeas didn't even get going. He didn't even get a chance. It was
jumped
1 minute
on his back and it was done.
Yeah, but I mean, there was a lot of intricate hand fighting going on there on the back. It has to be said, incredibly hard to finish from the back like that, especially when you're actually straddling the guy. You're not on the ground.
You're
the
jits expert. You tell me.
Yeah, I won't be finishing anyone. Don't worry about that. Ricky Bandeas would flatten me, but Patrick Mix certainly what an introduction to that division. Really, really coming impressive. Out part of there. Juan Arculeta, a guy I'm absolutely huge on.
Unreal.
With that devastating KO.
How good is this guy? Is this guy the best? You know, is he the best in the division?
Well, he bet Bandeas in the last fight. Yeah. I guess Patrick Mix's win over him kind of takes the shine off that slightly. But Arculeta's got to be right up there, right? I mean,
savage, man.
He had TJ Dillashaw with him there as well.
Who's he?
He's the disgraced former.
Oh, right. Oh, that guy. Oh, sorry, I forgot.
But let's get on to the fun stuff. Kyoji Horiguchi
defeats
Darian Caldwell. Maybe not the most eventful fight, but it kind of...
He's fun to watch. Yeah. He's just so fast, man, in and out.
And you're watching Darian just kind of lie on him, and he becomes the enemy. Darian becomes the enemy to the audience because he's slowing down the fight so much. And you're like, let the little... Because he's so much smaller, you're like, let him up. Come on. And I felt like as the fight went on, more and more people were like, Darian's ruining this fight. He's ruining this fight. And man... I was happy to see Kyoji get the win because he had far more activity than Darian. Even though Darian's wrestling is absolutely stellar, he just can't seem to do anything with it when he gets on. Unless he finds a nice sub, he's not doing anything with it. Even Aljamain Sterling was on saying, look, this guy's wrestling caliber is unbelievable. Yeah. But he doesn't develop the situations enough. He doesn't transition. He doesn't try enough. He doesn't try to finish enough from those positions. And Kyoji Horiguchi is now the Bellator and Risen champion. And I think that's cool. I love that. I love it, the Risen and Bellator crossover.
That's what I like. You know, do this instead of, as we talked about earlier on, Chael.
But this is one thing I wanted to bring up. Josh Gross wrote about this, and Mark Raimondi wrote about this ahead of the fight. I'm sure more people did. They kind of said, like, this situation where you're putting a Risen champion against a Bellator champion, that is an attempt... At least an attempt to find who is the best fighter on all the promotions.
Yeah, I agree.
And, you know, it's kind of shitty that, you know, the UFC will never entertain this.
Never.
I just can't see them going, oh, let's do a Henry Cejudo v. Kyoji Horiguchi, because it'll be a one-fight deal for Horiguchi. He might come in and take the belt and then he's gone, you know?
Listen, we just draw a line on it. The UFC will never do it. I don't think there's any point in even arguing that. We know the way the UFC... have routed these things. They're very much on their own. They don't mention other promotions on the broadcast. Bellator you know, openly do it.
But does this make this a more valuable commodity in terms of the diehard fan when they are putting Rizin v Bellator, like as we talked about, we had Jiří Procházka on the show. Imagine putting Jiří against Bader. I know a lot of people.
It definitely puts more eyes on it. Yeah. I think that's what Bellator need, because they're messing up certain TV deals, as we talked about earlier on here. So do something else outside of the box, rather than, you know, have the old guys, the dinosaurs on the card, very high up the card. This is way more appealing. You're getting, you know, an international clash of styles. You're getting Horiguchi against Caldwell. We wouldn't have seen that if there wasn't this alliance here.
Yeah,
and it's a great thing, I think, to see. And it does definitely add a little sort of an X factor to the promotion that they're willing to do things like this in their card. It brings an air of... What am I looking for? What's the word I'm looking for? Surprise to the broadcast. And I think that is something Bellator could really sort of market and sell on. I think it'd be a great idea if they did that with basically all of Ryzen. Do a Bellator versus Ryzen, you know, once every couple of months or something like that, and embrace the champions.
Dare I say, Kyoji Horiguchi made a bigger impact in his one fight for Bellator than he did even with his title fight in the UFC. Yeah. It seems like a way bigger name now based on
that. Yeah, well,
that
it was a joke
fight.
That he was ever released from the UFC in the first place. It was embarrassing from the UFC to let such a talented, destructive little fisherman go, because he's a phenomenal fighter to watch. I love watching Kyoji fight. I just think the technique, the speed... and you put everything into one, and it's just a little, it's like a fireball of mixed martial arts right there in Kyoichi Horiguchi.
And go back and watch his fight with Siri, man. It was a knock.
Yeah,
if you want to see him
was.
In an
that
absolute
was a cracking
knock,
fight in Rotterdam, Murata.
He had the first 10 minutes absolutely dominant, and then here comes the King of Fingless. Watch that. It was really good.
But I agree with you. He has. And I think, you know, put some eyes on this kid now, and I think the eyes are on him after having those two belts. It's great
absolutely,
to see.
Absolutely, absolutely. I'm not going to go through every fight in the main card because...
Sorry, can I ask you one question?
Yes.
Do we know if he's a contract now? Is it a one-fight deal? Is it a two-fight?
There was a lot made of like the gentleman's handshake between Saki Barra.
That they're doing a series, no?
Maybe. I don't know. Maybe I'm clueless.
All right.
I'm in Europe, baby. Ask some of the New Yorkers. But I'm not going to go through every fight in this undercard, but... Taylor Turner stops Heather Hardy, and was a bit of a shock result, but it was Eurobash veteran of one show, Adam Boric, who took the high line. Adam Boric, flying knee after being wrestled like for about 9 minutes of that fight, lands this devastating flying knee on Aaron Pico, and it brings up the conversation that we often have about the treatment of prospects. We've always said UFC seem to rush guys. Bellator seem to be too easy. And then, of course, there's Pico, the exception to all the rules, who just wants to be thrown to the lions constantly. He walks away from this with a 4-3 record now. This man was once hyped as the greatest prospect in MMA. I think he could be, but I just don't think he's taken the fights that would allow him to showcase that. Surely it's time for a step back in competition. Adam Boric is an undefeated prospect from Europe. I don't see that as a massive step down from his last opponent, Corrales. Even though Corrales is right up the top, it's not a fight where it's a showcase fight where we're going to see what this kid is good at. He's an amazing wrestler, obviously, based on the Adam fight, but once again, a bad KO. Let's take some time off and really rethink this Aaron Pico strategy, as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, you have to after, you know, these knockouts, and we talked a few moments ago about, you know, fights changing fighters' careers and their trajectory. Rory McDonald, for one, for me, definitely, you know, that fight had a big impact on him. We've seen other
and
younger
so early
guys.
On in Pico's career, you know?
Yeah, like...
It's nearly promotional malpractice.
It is, and where does this rest? Does this lie with the fighter? Does this lie with the matchmaker? You know, where do we draw the line here?
Because this is the problem I have, right? Fair enough, Aaron Pico comes out after his last loss to Corrales and was saying, I don't want a step down. If you give me a step down, I'm going to really hurt someone. Why do you listen to him in that circumstance?
Yeah, I agree.
And then you're not in a rush to make Dylan Danis v. Rory McDonald.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, let him say what he has to say, but you've got to be the promoter at the end of the day.
Yeah, and they've somewhat ruined, that's probably the wrong word.
But it's got
word.
A massive rebuild.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Yeah.
They're going to have to start from scratch now again with Aaron Pico, and it was going so nicely, obviously, till, you know, the first loss and... And then he bounced back lovely, and then that we saw that nasty knockout, and again, you know, sometimes I think matchmakers have to hold their hands up, and Bellator have done some very good things, but they've done some very bad things.
Absolutely.
They've obviously with James Gallagher, I think the push has been very good, you know, real steady, nice, slow progress, young guys. And that's what they need to build in Bellator. They need to build younger guys up so we don't see the likes of Chael Sonnen and Lyoto Machida fighting at, in their 40s on a co-main event in a Madison Square Garden card. People don't want to see that anymore, and I guarantee you that. So that's what's frustrating there. Listen, I do 100% agree with you. I think Aaron should take some time off now.
He's obviously an amazing talent.
Exactly. It's like Darren Till. I'm glad we've seen nothing announced for Darren Till. I'm really happy.
But I hate seeing this on Twitter. Oh, what a load of bullshit. He's not the prospect we thought. No, he is.
He is.
They just haven't been able to match him where he can he can really develop properly.
You've said it right there.
And he's an amazing talent. And, you know, it's devastating.
The UFC got it wrong with Darren Till.
Yeah.
Let's be honest.
They've got it wrong a lot.
A lot, yeah. Like, Darren Till was never ready
Francis Ngannou, Stipe Miocic.
Yes, 100%. You know, we look at the Woodley fight. That could seriously damage Darren Till. And it has, on the short term, we've seen that it has damaged him.
Pure rest. Well, the one.
Yeah, you know, Darren, a week before that fight was announced, I spoke with him in Dublin. He openly said he didn't feel as though he was ready for a world title shot.
But if it's coming, it's coming. That was the way it was.
Yeah, you can't turn down a world title shot. But again, you know, who's making the matches?
Valerie Laredo beat the Hooters employee, Larkin Dash. It was... She's good. She has good control of distance. She lands, like, as you'd expect from Taekwondo, lands good strikes. Larkin only really challenged her there in the last kind of few seconds of getting her to the ground, so we didn't really see her challenged in that regard. But, a nice win nonetheless. And Mike Kimball, TV Tom Egan's prospect, got a split decision win. That was all very good to see.
Boston Tom.
Exactly.
You leave the hat on there.
Yeah. We were speaking about James Gallagher earlier, who was called out by Patrick Mix after that main event win over Ricky Bandeas.
Mr.
James Gallagher, the Jimmy Show. It's this weekend, of course, on Sky Sports, where he should be. That is where he should be. There is absolutely, after that Irish show.
Well, I think it says a lot, the fact that, you know, the prelim portion, as we're calling it, is on the bigger channel.
Yeah, well, I mean, it's perfect for James.
Sky are probably calling for it. Well, you know, which side do we want?
Give us Gallagher.
Yeah, easily.
And they should have Fabian on there as well, as far as
I'm
concerned.
Definitely.
But, we spoke to James. It's a huge fight for him this weekend against Jeremy Labiano. Adam Borix had actually was one of the many people who has been calling James out, so we kind of talked about the amount of people calling him out. Very interesting, he actually said here, and I know he's kind of said this a few times to me, but the way he speaks about that, like, all these guys calling me out and they're saying I'm shit and they're saying, why don't I get this attention? They're making me get that attention. By talking about me constantly, they're putting me on the pedestal.
Yeah.
They've created the pedestal.
Yeah.
So, just very interesting to speak to him. Also got his thoughts on Aaron Pico, and James definitely sympathises with his situation. Some great points made about that. Always a pleasure to speak to James Gallagher, and he even spoke to me on Father's Day, of course, which would have been a big day for Andy Gallagher, of course, in Strabane. Yeah. So happy Father's Day to him.
Yeah, definitely. To all the daddies out there.
Absolutely. And so we'll speak to James now, and we'll be back in 15 minutes. All the best. And now we are joined by the most wanted man in Bellator, bantamweight. You're moving up to a catchweight this time around, but it's Mr. James Gallagher. How are you, sir?
I'm good, VT. How are you?
I'm very good. It's Father's Day today. Are you popping down to Andy with an L bottle of champers or something, or what's the situation?
Yeah, no, on Tuesday. I meet them on Tuesday. They fly to London. I'm in Belfast for the weekend, doing a bit of training and stuff, and chilling up here, and then I fly out from Belfast on Tuesday to London. I'm going to stay, and then my dad's coming with me on Tuesday. So we'll do something during the week. You'll get a nice win next weekend for it.
You can wait till then. Yeah. Are there many of the Gallagher clan heading over? I know you usually have a lot of people there. I mean, I think half of Strabane was there at the last Dublin event.
Yeah, 100%. The whole crew's whipped up again, and yeah, I'd say there'll probably be a few hundred from Strabane coming over.
That's great.
There'll be a lot of people coming, a lot of people book tickets and flights and stuff, so it's another Jimmy show.
I mean, how do you feel about that, like, James? Like, I mean, I'm looking at this main card, and obviously there's the big title fight at the top of it, there's Daly, and there you are, right in the middle of that main card. How happy are you with that placement?
Sorry?
How happy are you with your placement on the card? Obviously, like, people want these main card slots. Obviously, Sky Sports. I think this is huge for you. Like, when I saw that this was going to be on Sky Sports and Channel 5, straight away I was like, this is massive for James Gallagher, because, you know, coming off the back of the Dublin show, I felt like your stock went sky high. This makes sense to have you on this main card, right?
100%. So it is. It's as I say, it's my time to shine, Pete. I feel like this one's going to really, really pit me up there into the mix, and it's going to pit a lot of people. It's going to make a lot of people eat their words and question what they say about me, I feel. And that's why I feel like it's just my time to shine. I feel great. Everything's gone perfect, and I'm ready to go. I'm just, like, happy to be there, happy to compete, and happy to get in there and have a scrap. Do you know what I mean? I'm excited for it. I'm just wanted to all unfold. Do you know what I mean? I felt like this kind of come up to the Dublin fight as well, but this one's even a bit more. I just feel like I'm just happy to get in there and compete and show this the trend that I've been in the last few months and stuff, and let it all unfold for me.
Is there anything to be said about this catchweight? Like, I mean, are you still kind of making up your mind whether it's going to be bantamweight or featherweight, or was this to accommodate your opponent? What was the thinking behind the catchweight?
No. Basically, well, I've been making bantamweight. I make bantamweight no problem. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to be around this weight for a while. But I'm not in a title eliminator shot. I'm not fighting for the belt. I'm not doing anything. We all know I can make the weight. Why not just get two people around the same size to agree on a weight? Do you know what I mean? And just what's the point of cutting all that weight?
Yeah, no, it makes sense.
It's absolutely stupid. You know what I mean? I'll make weight for a title fight, or when it's a meaningful, no, like a title contender fight or something like that. But now I was just speaking, and I was like, "Can I just get a catch weight at 140?" And they're like, "Yeah, why not?" So then your man got dragged in and got told that it was a catch weight, and that's how it unfolded.
No, that's
simple as nothing. Nothing. Everyone thinks, "Oh, it's some complicated reasons." No, I just decided I would just try it. I would just ask and see how it would go. Do you know what I mean? What's the point of me cutting an extra 5 pound when I don't need to? Do you know what I mean? I just fight someone my same size, even though he's a 145er, but he's the same kind of size. You know what I mean? It's not as big as people make out. Same kind of size, agree on a weight, show up, fight, get fucking paid, and put on a good performance. Do you know what I mean? That's what it's about for me. Not making weight and killing myself and all this. Do you know what I mean? Even though I do still got like a good bit, I'm big for the weight, so I've got a big cut still ahead of me and stuff, but it's just a damn extra 5 pounds, do you know what I mean? That's just absolutely pointless for me, unless it's like a title fight or title contender fight. I think it should happen more often.
Yeah, it seems like a good idea, to be honest. Like, it makes perfect sense what you're saying. Like, why should you go down and kind of, you know, have to keep on proving, you've already proved you can make the weight. Like, what's the point in doing that if you're not getting paid for a title fight or something like that? I think it makes sense.
Yeah. Do you know what I mean? So it's not even getting paid. I'm getting paid. I'm getting paid. I don't give out, Nick. Do you know what I mean? It's not about the money. It's about the actual purpose of it. I just don't understand. I can't see the purpose of, like, cutting up two people the exact same size, walk around, though similar enough. Do you know what I mean? It's not like a few pounds isn't major, but I'm fighting people my own size, a bantamweight. It's not, you know what I mean? It's like we're killing ourselves to make weight. Like, just what's the point? We'll just make life a bit easier for us and go and put on a good fight.
Yeah, yeah. And I got to say, right, and I'm not going to ask you to reply to all these guys, but I've just been looking at the amount of call-outs you're getting. Like, I mean, we already talked about Dom Wooding and Lencioni. You've also got Patrick Mix. I even had Adam Borix last week on the show, even though he's up a featherweight talking about fighting you. Like, and what I wanted to ask you about that is, like, so many people, like, were kind of saying, oh, this is the end of him when you lost. Is there any way that the loss made you an even bigger name? Because I feel like more people than ever are calling you out and are trying to align themselves with fights with you. Surely, if you were done, this wouldn't be happening. Like, is there any way that you actually, by losing and coming back and winning, you've made yourself an even bigger name?
Well, them people that said I was done, them people that said I'm nothing, all them people that, oh, I'm nothing, he's shit, he's this, he's done now, he got knocked out, he's no chin. They're the people that call me out. So you know what that means? That when they say that, they're lying through their fucking teeth, and they know it. They know it, or else they wouldn't call me out. Do you know what I mean? If they really thought that about me, they wouldn't call me out. They don't, like, what would be the point? Do you know what I mean? I'm hardly going to think someone's below me and he's dirt, he's this, he's not, do you know what I mean? He's nothing compared to me. And then call him out. It doesn't make any sense to me. So
they're actually helping you though, right? They're actually building your brand for you, in a way.
The reason why I'm up on this pedestal, getting all that I'm getting, the way everything's going, is because of all these other fighters. And they just don't see it, and they're all thinking, "Oh, James is marketing himself well, and James is doing this." Yeah, a little bit, but they're all putting me up here. They're the ones that's doing everything for me.
They're putting you on the pedestal, right?
I'm just chilling back, training away, doing me thing, and everyone else is putting me up there. So it is. So I'm happy. Keep that going. Do you know what I mean? You are all raising my stock. Do you know what I mean? And I'm just the smart one that I don't go on and raise theirs. Do you know what I mean?
Absolutely. Tell me a bit about Jeremiah. Like, what do you think of this guy? Is there anything, like, when you think about this bout, how do you expect it to play out, James?
I can see me giving him a lot of punishment, so I kind of can see it being a heavy, like, kind of punishment fight, taking him down, like, lots of elbows, lots of ground and pound, lots of big shots, breaking him down step by step. I can see it playing down until I get the back and choke. I can just see me breaking him down, chopping him bit by bit, and eventually it'll be too much for him, and he'll crumble underneath it, and underneath the pressure and the strikes. So, but I feel like it's going to be a lot more striking, like shots on the floor and shots on the feet, like a lot of heavy strikes that are going to be the factor, rather than just like clean submissions. It's going to be more ground and pound stuff.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, when they kind of considered this fight, that even like the first time you guys are matched, they're all talking about this guy's jiu-jitsu background and your jiu-jitsu background, who's going to come out on top. But you see an advantage there in the striking department as well as the grappling, because I remember at the time you told me you felt you definitely had the edge on the ground.
I feel like I've got the edge everywhere, so I do, but I'm not on about just striking on the feet, I'm on about striking on the floor as well. So it is, and it's going to be like too heavy for him, and just grilling and shot by shot, like just make him break, do you know what I'm saying? Land big heavy elbows on top of him and just let him do his thing, and as he's scrambling away, just land shot by shot. And I feel like after a couple of minutes of that, he's going to be fucked and eventually give the back and I'll get the choke. He's just not on my level on the floor. None of these people, I don't have any concerns about any of them on the floor.
We spoke briefly about this whole Rizin and Bellator crossover, and as we know, Horiguchi he edged out Caldwell at the weekend. He's like the unified champion between Rizin and Bellator now. Like, not immediately am I asking you, do you want this, but is that something that still appeals to you? I remember the last time I spoke to you, you said that was something you were definitely interested in.
100% appeals to me even more now. So it does. I'd love to. He's a world-class fighter. I'm a tough fight. I would absolutely do anything to be able to step in there and have a unified fight for the two belts. I want that, and that's something that I'll be coming for in the future.
Is it an even bigger deal? Like, I mean, this is the debate that people are having. Like, in sport, we're basically looking to find the best guy. And the fact that Rizin and Bellator have come together, excuse me, that's my phone. The fact that Rizin and Bellator have come together and they've kind of made this unified title, do you think that is more substantial than, say, the UFC title? That's the kind of debate that I see kind of happening. The fact that they have merged two promotions to find a champion, that makes it, you know, certainly more ideologically, a pound-for-pound title, if you get me, yeah.
Well, it's just a bigger pool. Do you know what I mean? You're the champion of a bigger pool of fighters now. Mm. Not only the champion of Bellator, you're also the champion of Rizin. Do you know what I mean? That's two high-level pools of fighters. Do you know what I mean? So if you can come out and claim that you're the top of them two pools, then that's a big deal.
Yeah, and I mean, like as we've talked about before, you're a huge name. We know that by the amount of guys that call you out. Like, do you think that Horiguchi, that would appeal to Horiguchi if you were in that title mix to fight you? I feel like, you know, you're one of probably the bigger names that he can fight out of the Bellator organization.
100%. I don't see why not. It's only going to benefit his stock as well, do you know what I mean? Because at the end of the day, I'm doing bigger numbers than him and Caldwell. Mm. So it's not, do you know what I mean? And that's fact. That's not me just sitting here waffling on. That's fact. So, of course, it was appealed, but I can see him doing his thing for a bit, and maybe down the line, maybe in the next year and a half, I could see that happening.
Right, right. And I got to ask you about Aaron Pico, right? Because there's just so much debate about this guy. There's so much talk. Obviously, Barrick's got the win over him at the weekend. But so many people seem to be, you know, criticizing Aaron for what he's done here. But to be fair to him, he's always taken on the hardest fights he possibly can. And he's clearly a very talented fighter. When you see a guy like that losing and you see people heaping on, and, you know, this happened to you with your loss, like, do you sympathize with Aaron there? Or how does it make you
100%.
Feel?
100%. So I do that. I feel like hats goes off to him. Do you know what I mean? He puts it on the line every time, and it's not, I don't particularly like him, but you can't hate on someone for doing something like getting defeated. It's just the worst kind of mindset I've ever seen is someone who hits on someone who gets knocked down. Do you know what I mean? You have to help these people back up. You can't kick a man when he's down, and it's absolutely horrible that people sitting on their sofas with a tin of beer are saying, ah, he's done, he's this, he's that, and he's like, man, he's only 20 fucking 4 years old or something. You know what I mean? He's got a long time ahead of him. Like, maybe his career hasn't got off, and, you know, maybe he doesn't have the potential that some people thought or something like this, but he's not done. Do you know what I mean? He's only fucking a young fella, like, in doing something he loves. Do you know what I mean? He's not, I don't think he should be going anywhere. The only place he should be going is back to the gym and training, and maybe take a break from a fight or something, but go back to the gym, get back on the fucking horse and get going again. Do you know what I mean? Fuck that. Don't be listening to any of these bums that are sitting there, oh, he's done, he's this, he's that. He's achieved a lot more than any of them kind of people have ever achieved.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more. Now, finally, James, obviously, we know you're the most wanted man in Bellator, without a doubt, at the moment. But, you know, you're playing your cards close to your chest. As you said to me before, you feel as though you're the biggest fight in this division. Is there anywhere you want to go next? Like, is there something that you're looking at next in terms of when this fight goes according to plan, you want to fight this guy? Or do you just kind of let things play out the way they, you know, whatever way Bellator want to do it? Or do you have your eyes on something specific beyond this bout?
But yeah, I've got me past that I've said, so I do definitely. I've got me roots, but as you say, I keep me cards close to my chest, PT. and that's what I'm doing. I'm keeping them close to my chest, and I'm going to be doing a few things after this fight and stuff. And for the rest of the year, I've the rest of the year planned out for myself, and It's going to go big. This year is going to go big for me. I'm going to set it all up so when I'm rolling into next year again, then it's all big fights. It's all big things are happening. And I'm just then focused, enjoying it, improving, get my skill set up there, getting everything going for me, and just staying fit and healthy. Do you know what I mean? That's my main focus. And then I'm just letting it all play out for me. And yeah, there's a few things I've got in mind that I'm going to do over this year, and I'm going to make sure that it all pops off so I do by the end of the year. And so, because I'm going to fight now in London, then in September, and then one at the end of the year as well. So it is. So I've got a few things in mind that I'll keep close to my chest until the time.
Surely expect main event there in Dublin if they're coming back in September, James.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. There's a few things in the line.
I think you know something that I don't know, James.
Yeah. We'll leave it at that.
Thanks so much, man.
We'll see the crack about the Dublin one. Next week, I guess. I guess we'll be planning Dublin next week after I walk in there and choke this fella. We'll be discussing Dublin, and big things will be happening for Dublin.
Brilliant, man. James, thanks so much as always for your time. You know, I always appreciate it. And please wish Andy a happy Father's Day from me.
Thank you very much.
All the best.
I appreciate it, PTI. Thank you
very
much.
Talk to you soon. Bye-bye. And it was fantastic to speak to James Gallagher. His big fight with Jeremiah Labiano this weekend on Sky Sports. Make sure you tune in. I think it's actually pretty good. I was just saying that over the weekend. I think it's pretty good that they had a good weekend without any kind of UFC competition last weekend on Sky Sports, which would have led perfectly into a whole main card being on Sky Sports this weekend. But alas, we've talked about this enough probably.
Yeah.
But moving on to that card, let's have a quick look at what's going down on Bellator 223, my friend, or Bellator London as we call it. Gegard Mousasi v. Rafael Lovato Jr. Can you look past Gegard here at all?
No, best middleweight in the world.
But when you have a guy like Rafael who can, you know, really dominate someone on the ground. I guess we kind of saw something similar with Rory.
I was just about to say that McDonald and Gracie last weekend was a similar contest. I think we were about 9-0 as well going into it.
Gaegaard's kind of sophisticated enough not to go there?
I think he is. His boxing's too good. He's a really good grappler. He's good against K-1 defense. K1 everywhere. So I just think it's too much too soon for Lovato, but it'll be a good test. You know, he'll learn from this one. But I do expect Gaegaard to get a finish here and make a statement.
Yeah, now hang on. I just want to look at the right
order. If the right Gaegaard comes up.
Because it's...
Because Gaegaard sometimes, as we know, suffers from motivational problems. And I think we saw that in his Bellator debut, but I would not expect that, obviously being a few fights into his Bellator career now.
We will have a look at this bout order now. I just wanted to make sure I have it right because it's a bit all over the gaff online. Light heavyweight bout is your co-main event on the Channel 5 broadcast. Melvin Manoff, he can't Kaponin. You know, everyone's going to go with... they want to see Melvin here. He's a legend, obviously. But I'm not ruling out Kent here. He shocked the world with that Alessio Sakara knockout. And again, just to a nod to the Fabian Edwards exclusion from the main card, Fabian Edwards beating Kent Kaponin in the first round. And now this guy is getting TV placements ahead of him.
Look at my face. I know, Melvin Manoff, come on, I know he's another guy that's been around the block.
He's getting buku dollar for this.
Yeah, listen, come on though, give your young guys a chance. Give the guys like Fabian Edwards who have clear paths.
Star potential, huge.
Star power. They need a platform
Mr.
to be on.
Shots.
Yeah, he should be on the Sky Sports, Sky Sports portion for me. I'd love to see Fabian on that, and it's a bit of a piss take that he's not.
I can understand, right? Aaron Chalmers is on the Channel 5 card, but when you're
and especially looking at his brother as well in the UFC,
Leon,
should Bellator not have learned something from that?
Yeah, absolutely, man. But it's I can understand why Aaron Chalmers on the TV broadcast. That's why they got him.
Obviously, I've no qualms with that. You know, he does bring eyes and. The more eyes of this...
Someone told me, I don't know if it's true, generation. But 750,000 people tuned into his last fight.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah. I wouldn't be surprised at all.
Look at everyone tuning into Love Island these days, huh?
That's it.
Same kind of crowd.
I have to leave that till the end.
Yeah, I can put that in the end portion.
Okay.
I want to slander you for
watching
that.
It. I guess, next year's show.
Excuse me.
God bless you, my son.
The main event of the Sky Sports broadcast... There's only two fights. Paul Daly.
Oh, two fights. What are you doing, lads?
It's Paul Daly v. Eric Silva. Eric Silva now 20-10 and won no contest in MMA. Paul Daly 40-17-2. And then, of course, James Gallagher v. Jeremiah Labiano. I'm very interested in that fight.
I am. I'm interested in that one. It's supposed to happen a number of times.
Yeah, and
never going to see it.
As James told us in the interview, that 140 catchweight, he just decided, if I'm not fighting for an opportunity to fight for the title, or I'm not fighting for the title, why would I kill myself to make that weight? You know I can make 135.
Yeah, and I'm obviously we're not sure what's going to happen with the title now after last weekend, so it's an odd
James
one.
Already said he'd want to go to Japan.
Yeah, and he sort of reeled it. I remember asking about Caldwell. Yeah, he'd love to go to Japan. And
that'd be some crack, wouldn't it?
That would, man. Imagine selling that.
But he would help Horiguchi sell so well.
But that's what I mean. That's the type of thing these two promotions need to do. They need to bounce off each other. They need to have this X factor so people will tune in instead of us watching dinosaurs every week.
And, James wasn't... I mean, I asked him about that fight specifically. Yeah. He sees it happening 2 years down the line, which is good, which makes sense, probably. You know, get himself in the toilet contention. And then deal it that way. So very interesting that. And look, when you have a guy with the star power of James over here, it makes sense because obviously they're going to be advertising. John Kavanagh said on the Helwani show today that they're going to be putting out some of the bouts for the Bellator Dublin card at the end of this event in London. So could be very interesting to see. And James kind of hinted that they were already talking about something.
Why is John saying this? Is he a Bellator matchmaker? I thought he's...
he only suggests.
Okay, all right, okay. All right.
But, he denied that again. All right. But on the preliminary card, the main event of the preliminary card, fucking so many main events.
Stop.
It's Fabian Edwards versus John...
The main event of the preliminary card or the headline of the main event?
Oh my God. But big fight for Fabian. And I like the way they've put these two fights together. Mike Shipman v. Costello Van Steenis is underneath it. And that's the winner of both them fights should face each other. It shouldn't be. And look, Fabian v. Shipman is the ideal fight for UK. If they're going UK, do it in Ireland for all I care, man.
I'd like that.
But I hope they manage to
get that storyline across on the broadcast. Like, they have Gad there, Garrett Davies. He'll be aware of that situation. Hopefully they can highlight the people, stir up the interest between these two middleweights, potential winners. Kozlov Van Steen is certainly not a walk in the park for Mike Shipman.
Yeah,
he could spoil the whole thing, but I'd watch Fabian v. Kozlov if that's what happens. I think most people expect Fabian to go through Jonathan Bosoku, who's taking a huge step up in competition here. He's fighting a blue chip prospect. He's on a good run of fights. I think it's five, but he does have those four losses to his name. So you'd expect that Fabian would be able to get the job done. Moving down the card, Charlie Ward v. Justin Moore, 7-3. Charlie Ward, 6-3. He's been on a good run with
that. Yeah, he has to him.
We had that Walter Gahadze v. Oliver Encamp fight that we talked about a few weeks ago. Denise Kyle Holtz. Keyholtz versus Brioni Terrell. Chris Bungar v. Charlie Leary. Jesus, that's down there, isn't it?
It's a good fight.
That's a good fight to be all the way down there, for sure, man. Kate Jackson v. Lena. Can't pronounce her second name. Terry Brazier v. Alessandro Botti, an Italian prospect. I believe I saw one of my Italian friends speaking about this recently. Nathan Rose, Jimmy Mano endorsed, going against Luke Ord. We have Alfie Davis, the kickboxing phenom, against George Canella. We have Justin Burlinson against Wendell Lewis. Galore Bafondo versus Keith McCabe.
Oh, supposed to be Richard, yeah.
What an opportunity for Keith McCabe.
Massive opportunity for Keith.
I'd go as far as saying that Galore Bafondo has an overwhelming advantage in the striking, but I think Keith McCabe has an overwhelming advantage on the ground. And if he wins this, I kind of poked a little fire there the weekend. What about Keith McCabe versus Dylan Danis in Dublin?
Do it.
I don't even think it needs a win or a loss set up that fight, as long as it's not as long as he doesn't suffer a bad KO or something. I think that would stir up so much local interest with Rhino versus SBG. And we've seen Keith fight. We know he's a real dog in there. Like, I mean, and I think the fact that he has suffered losses to Coyley and Crosby, that will even kind of help his chances of making that fight happen, you know?
Definitely. And he's when was it? Was it Bama Belfast against, was it, who did we see him fight? Hang on, I'll see if we can get it up here. Bama was his last fight.
He was in the Ukraine for his last fight, I believe.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah,
he fought someone in Bar. It was a heel hook against someone. It was a phenomenal performance. It was Glenn Irvine, mate. Was it?
I don't know.
Okay, yeah, well, that was it, I think. Okay, go on. Sorry, I'm confusing things here.
Kevin Fryer v. John Redmond. Oh, sorry, I thought he was fighting George Tukos. That's a replacement fight there for John Redmond. I didn't realize that happened. But what about this, man? At the very bottom, the curtain jerker of the whole thing. Nathan Grayson, Violent Money, against Franz Malambo.
Yeah, geez, that's a great fight.
That's opening the card.
That's a great fight. That is a really good fight.
It's unbelievable.
I love
Grayson's story.
That should be knocking on.
Yeah, he's got a great personality. I really believe he's a very marketable dude, that Nathan Grayson. But that is no walk in the park, man. Franz Malambo, who has been basically fed a much higher pedigree than where he was at when he was an amateur.
Yeah.
Straight into the pro ranks, they were feeding him to the dogs. And Franz is still there. He's 6-4, but he was fighting, I think he's had 3 title fights in Brave against Lohman, who's a savage. So I think that's a brilliant fight. I'm surprised that's right down there at the end.
It is. It's silly.
That is crazy. Man, that is absolutely insane. Yeah, I cannot believe that.
Yeah.
But, so just thoughts on this card. You are making so much noise today.
I'm just moving stuff around here.
What do you think? Like, do you think this will be on the same level of attraction as we saw for Bellator Dublin, or is there something just special about Ireland, you know, in general?
There is, I think, something special with the Dublin cards, but I think if you look at maybe the fighters on this and the matchups, they're maybe a little bit more even than we saw here in Dublin.
Yeah,
I think that's fair. We saw the outcomes and we knew the results of the fights
in
Dublin.
That's very fair, yeah. That's a compliment.
And I think here there's a lot more. There's a lot more sort of battling and to see who's going to get the job done here. Obviously, Labiano, I think, is again a step up for James Gallagher.
People who are saying he isn't a step up are clueless, man. Look how many fights the guy's had. Yeah. He's a black belt in jiu-jitsu. Like, what do you want?
Exactly. What do you want? So you look at the main event. You've Gegard Mousasi against Lovato. There's the little bit of intrigue, obviously, the unknown. You know, we did allude to what happened last weekend, but Lovato is obviously a different fighter in very similar in many ways to Gracie. Very different threats. So that is a fascinating element, you know, if the fight goes to the ground, you know, how will Gegard control him? You know, obviously Lovato will have the advantage in the jits, but Gegard's so good and so powerful that we just don't really know. And I would expect Gaethje to come out on top on that. But if you do look at the matchmaking top to bottom, and you've even said it there, you know, the first fight of the night, I think it pretty much proves that that's a, it's a wonderful fight to, to be able to consume.
And I think, I'm actually looking forward to Grayson v. Malambo more than the vast majority of this card.
But look, I agree. But look at, you know, Eric Silva. I know he's probably a spent force as well against Paul Daly. It's an intriguing fight to watch.
Yeah.
It's something that people will be, you know, you wouldn't put your house in either of them guys winning.
I'd probably put my house on Daly, but that's just me.
Probably would.
But yeah, it's a very good card. Does this hint that, like, I mean, if you're Sky Sports and you're seeing this, like, as in they're only giving them an hour here, what does that say about their relationship with Bellator?
Yeah, it says, you know, did Bellator fuck up with the contracts before this was done? You know. Are they
an afterthought is what I'm wondering, like, you know?
Yeah. No, I would agree with that, but, you know, it seems to be with this European series where the cards are all over the shop. And
yeah. Sky Sports need to have someone addressing who they want on their
team. 100%.
Like, obviously, they got it right here with James, but I know I've said it a million times. We're going to hear from him in a minute. Fabian Edwards, how do you not deal with that, man?
Yeah.
It's mind-blowing.
You know, I think for their audience, they're looking at a, you know, a big old school name. Yeah. And the name there is, you know, Paul Daly. He's been in the UFC.
Absolutely.
You know, I can understand that to a certain extent.
But where's the intrigue levels with Paul Daly after that MVP fight?
No, there's not many. I agree with you.
It's in the dirt. Like, yeah. Like, I mean, not the guy's career, but just in terms of what he's bringing to the fight at the moment. Like, he probably does deserve a main card slot. But, I mean, if you're spreading it across two channels, you expect to be able to fit, like, you know, eight fights on between the two of them. It just seems a bit redundant to me.
It does, and it's silly. Like, I don't want to harp on about it, but
what's more annoying, this or UFC charging for pay-per-views?
Probably this.
Yeah,
I think so. It's just, you know, that's just a dopey move from the UFC, and I think they'll probably retract it after the first one when they sell five of them. Like, this just going on for a long, long time with Bellator. It's just,
can't get it right.
It's beyond frustrating. It's just, you know, it's just like, I've given up at this stage. Like, I feel resigned to losing that they're crap with doing TV deals and stuff on this side of the pond. So, yeah, I would go along and say this is the more frustrating, disappointing thing. And, you know, I'm sure Sky will get, like, they've got to get this right, man, within this year.
Time is ticking.
But what I would imagine with the European series, a deal was already signed with Channel 5. But, you know, surely they could have come to some sort of agreement.
But
where,
this is a numbered event. These are the ones that are meant to be on Sky Sports, you know?
Yeah, well, there you go. Yeah, yeah, you know.
I just don't understand it. But, yeah. Now we'll have a look at this UFC Greenville card, which is headlined by Renato Moicano and Chan Sung Jun, one of my faves.
Great fight at the top of the card.
Really like it. I feel like the Korean Zombie has a lot to gain against Moicano, even though he is more international, bigger international name, you know. Because of Moicano's proximity to the title for so long, and he went on that run, and it looked like it was all set up until Aldo extinguished that fire, should I say. We got John Lineker. We have Rob Font in the co-main event. That's going to be a nice one. Is that a rematch?
Turn off your phone, Petey.
I'm not turning it off, but I'll definitely put on silent. Is that a rematch, John Lineker and Rob Font?
It feels like
it is.
It feels like John Lineker's just fought everyone in the 135-pound division. It is indeed, yes. UFC 198 rematch where Rob Font lost to John Lineker by decision. Unanimous. We were probably at that.
We might have been.
198, were we? Curitiba, no, we weren't in Brazil.
No. It's just so hard to keep track of what events you go to. Like,
It's MMA is a crazy, crazy world. But, some good scraps.
Yeah, Brian Barberin against Randy Brown. Andrea Lee against Montana De La Hoza.
KGB.
And then we come to our first European of the night. It's Mali. Alessio De...
I'm confused
Alessio
here.
De Chirico against Kevin Holland. Kevin Holland is great to watch, man. I'm happy to watch him win every fight.
Definitely.
Alessio, big step up. Well, not a big step up, I guess, but... you know, tough L fight. We saw Holland against John Phillips, I believe it was in Shanghai. He looked really good over there. I don't know if that was a Shanghai fight. I might be wrong there.
I'll tell you now.
Beijing. Jesus Christ, Petey. But, he's been on a two-fight win streak. He beat Gerald Merchart, a split decision in his last fight, and now he's up against Alessio. You know, Italian MMA, they need a big L win in the UFC. You know what I mean? They had Marvin Vettori disappear with that USADA ban that turned out to be tainted supplements, but now we've got. But that was the one. Oh, no, they said the four guys.
Crazy.
But obviously, Alessio's on a 2-fight win streak, a split decision win, his last one against Julian Marquez. He's also bet Bambose with that knee in the second round, I think you'll remember. But Kevin Holland, it's definitely a step up in competition, man. And he's going to have to get ready for those bombs because that man can crack. He is very exciting to watch, man. I really like watching Holland fight.
It is a good scrap. And the Italian is going to have to come up with something new here. It's going to be a tough one.
He's going to have to mix it up a lot. Like, show him the threat for the takedowns to stop his vicious striking style. But
it's a good fight. It's a good fight. It's a good test to see where he is as well, I think. You know, that Thiago Santos fight was pretty. Was that a split decision victory?
Who was
the Thiago Santos fight for Holland? Was it Holland who fought Thiago Santos?
No idea.
Yeah, a few fights. 227. It was unanimous decision loss. So he will have learned off that. We saw the Phillips fight, obviously. Then Gerald Meerschaert. He's been impressive, but there's going to be new tricks needed from Chirico in this scrap. Decent card, top to bottom. It's not bad.
Ashley Yoder, Siori Kondo, Danny Oig v. Kevin Aguilar, Matt Wyman v. Italy's Luis Penna. You're not having that, aren't you?
No, man? Not at all. Get out of here, son.
The big European interest on the card, of course, is Molly McCann v. the violence queen, Ariane Lipski.
Do we claim Lipski as well?
She's Brazilian.
Yeah, I know she's Brazilian, but
she's got a kind of Polish second name.
She sort of lives.
I don't know. I'm not ready to do it for this event because we have Molly. We have Molly in there.
So that's fair enough.
Maybe next fight, Ariane, you can be European again.
Yeah.
But Cage Warriors champ v. KSW champ. I thought there'd be a bit more interest in this, to be honest, in the lead up to it. But I guess it's just one of those weekends where there's so many things happening that it might have fallen under the radar a bit. But I feel like this would be a big win for Molly McCann. I think a lot of people who have watched KSW fancy Ariane to get the job done in the striking exchanges.
Very interesting to see how she bounces back, though, as well.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I mean, I felt like that was a baptism of fire against Joanne Calderwood. Mm. I really do. But Molly is very, very heavy on top as well. Like, we've seen her mix her boxing up with her takedowns before. She's very good at it.
I think that a problem here could be in the stand-up for Molly and maybe the speed of Lipski and she's good
on the
ground.
She can't be as hesitant as she was against Calderwood.
Exactly, she has to let go, and I think maybe that comes, you know, listen, we'll give her the benefit of the doubt, her UFC debut nerves. I don't think we're going to see that from Lipski. We've seen her enough in KSW to know how, you know, they don't call her a violence queen for nothing. I think this could be one of those where they stand, trade and bang. And I'm not sure if I like that for Molly in terms of how good Lipski's striking we've seen it to be. Really interesting fight, and
but
I just wonder,
Molly,
you know,
is
it maybe a little bit too soon for Molly again to get back in there? I would have liked to see Molly take a little bit more time after that eye injury.
It looked
pretty bad, man. We saw it in person. It was pretty gnarly and nasty. And you know, it's not just the eye; it's been affected. It's obviously, you know, head trauma, things like that. I would have liked to seen Molly take 3-4 more months extra here in this situation and not jump back in there. I know there's that excitement, that momentum, but sometimes you've just got to stop and go, no, let's just take a little bit more time out.
Maybe so. I guess we're only going to find out on fight night, really.
Yeah.
You know, and I do agree with you as far as what you were saying about Ariane, how brilliant she was with KSW, but I would say the same thing about Molly with Cage Warriors.
I agree.
Like, I mean, she put on some exceptionally dominant performances there, and so did Ariane, but they were dealing with lesser opposition.
Yeah,
that's a fact.
Yes, there's no doubt about it.
So very intrigued by that one.
I think I look at this fight, and it's definitely one that stands out for me. I think it could be a potential fight of the night. I really do. Both styles of the fighters as well.
And
you're
not putting either away easily.
No.
There's no way.
No.
Darren Wynn, Daniel Cormier's apprentice, is also making his debut on this card. He's going to fight Eric Spicely.
He's only a late replacement back in the UFC. Eric Spicely,
I don't like that fight for Eric Spicely, man. Darren Wynn, if you've seen him before, he's quite short in stature, but he is huge in terms of his wrestling ability. And good striking as well. He gets in and out very well for a small guy. And I expect his career to get off to a flying start in Greenville. Finishing out the card, it's Andre Uhl and Anderson Dos Santos. Let's get on to what we really want to talk about, Noel. The thing you've been looking forward to for months and months and months. It's Paulie Malignaggi versus Artem Lobov. Comments.
Next.
Are you not going to watch this?
Honestly? Do you want me to understand? Probably not. Really? I'm coming to that now. Yeah, I'll be entertaining, you know, mixed martial arts cards ahead of this, definitely.
I'll be definitely switching, flicking over.
Shame on you.
But I was just saying to you before we went on air.
Yeah.
All my mates, I don't see them that often because I work all day, all night, all the time. It's very annoying. When I do see them, they're talking about this card. No one's mentioned to me, oh man, I can't wait for that Gegard v. Lovato fight. That's going to be savage. Like, they haven't been saying, like, I can't wait for Renato Moicano and Chan Sung Jung. Every single one of them is like, are you watching Artem Lobov and Paulie Malignaggi? Can we come over to watch this in your house? Look, there's...
You should tell them to watch it online.
There's an unbelievable amount of interest in this fight. And it's probably not gone the most... it's probably not been the most PC build-up to a fight ever. Like, we've seen Paulie spitting on everything that moves. We've seen him talking about pissing in Artem's mouth after he breaks his teeth. Is this the only way to sell this? Because it is, let's be honest, it is not anywhere near as credible as even MMA.
Yeah.
It's, like, as far as, say, mainstream sports think, this is in the gutter.
It's
right?
trash.
Yeah. So do you sell it like it's in the gutter?
Well, I suppose they do, because they have.
Yeah.
So,
and that's not been Artem's fault. That's been Paulie Malignaggi, the guy who has come from the...
And shot on MMA fans.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I suppose that's how you sell it, too. It's but as I've said to you before, I really feel as though Paulie's behaviour has actually made Artem more of a saviour. Like, it's pushing him up like the cult hero.
Artem's definitely coming out better at this.
He's had to be the biggest name on bare knuckle at
the
moment.
You know, where... Oh, easily. Yeah, no, definitely. I think Artem, you know, in terms of how he's handled himself very well, as he did in Brooklyn, I'll give him that as well, when the whole stuff kicked off with Habib. He's helped with it, you know, he's helped very well. He's been classy. He's obviously said a few things to Artem, but he is not to Paulie, but he's not engaged on the level or stooped as low.
I'm not talking about pissing in dude's mouth.
As Paulie's level. And I think Paulie is a disgrace. And I'm pretty much sick of him now, to be honest. I've been sick of him for quite a long time. He's a mouth...
I have a feeling he's
a gutter, and I'd like for that gutter to be shut, to be honest with you.
So you are going to watch?
No, I'll watch the highlights. I'm not. Listen, honestly, I would definitely be watching mixed martial arts, and there is mixed martial arts on, so I'll be consuming the mixed martial arts on Saturday night.
What if someone's in the Harley Davidson prep point? You get an opportunity to flick over.
No.
But it's so interesting. It is interesting. I can't help it. It's a phenomenon. Like, I mean, they've managed... I don't know how to make this one of the most anticipated fights of this whole month.
Is it?
I think it is, yeah. I really do. And I think I think I saw Sean Al-Shadi and Jose Youngs talking about this. Is it because this is more or less a sequel to Khabib v. McGregor that it's carrying so much interest?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know.
It's a part of it. It's a spin-off. It's like, you know, Friends Part 2 with Joey and someone. I don't know. You know, it is like that, and I think that's really the only reason why it's gaining any traction. Paulie Malignaggi is still a big name. He's still a guy who's does an analysis.
Is that going to last if he keeps talking about pissing in people's mouths?
Well, I don't think it should really, and I'm sure there is some. I don't know. I've mentioned this before that there must be something in his contract for gross misconduct, where, you know, actions outside of his work, imagine, where he could be suspended. You can't go around spitting on people's faces, man. It's disgusting. You know, it is. It's absolutely horrible. And I don't like the guy. He puts a dirty taste in my mouth.
I've heard a lot of people talking like that, to be honest. Like, I mean, even the gentle giant of MMA, Phil DeFreeze, came out and he's like, this guy's a disgrace. You know what I mean?
Is.
Like,
he's
and you
no
usually
respect.
Don't hear Phil talking like that, right?
Yeah, yeah. Phil's a very respectful guy, and I don't think Paulie has showed any class in much he's done at all lately. And I think a lot of people be rooting for Artem, as we said earlier on. And I think, you know, listen, you know, Paulie's never been a guy to hit a guy particularly hard. He's had broken his hands numerous many occasions during his career. And this is a different ball game. As you know, we talked this a few weeks ago, and you watch some of the fights, sometimes your tactics go out the window. You see guys swinging for the fences, guys that would have been good tactically in mixed martial arts in terms of their stand-up. Just goes out the window. And who's to say Artem can't hit harder than Paulie Malignaggi? Because Paulie doesn't hit hard.
I don't think that's a competition. But what I do fear is, the one thing I do fear for Artem is, if Paulie wins this, it's going to be whatever it is. Well, how many 3 minute rounds are they?
Five or something, I think.
It's
five,
like three minute rounds.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I don't even know.
That's going to be 9 minutes of lacerations. Because I don't see Paulie putting them away. So it's going to be jab, jab, jab with bare knuckles.
Yeah.
And look at the way Artem opened up after the
Yeah, there's a lot of scar tissue there.
Yeah, I see a lot of scar on his eyes. Like, and you know these guys for years. Like, you're going, you know, you hope he doesn't have You just hope he isn't disfigured from it.
It's a quick turnaround as well, man. And it is, you know, and we talked about that earlier.
I was just showing my dad pictures of Artem's face after the last fight and explaining to him he's fighting again. You know, it's hard to believe for a lot of people, but he is a tough motherfucker. There's no doubt about that.
Yeah, can we draw a line under this now?
Yeah, it works. Nice. So now we'll move on to our third interview of the day, and it's Mr. Tasty Shots himself. It's Fabian Edwards. We talked to him about RDA v. Leon. We talked to him about the looming prospect of a fight with either Mike Shipman or Koslovan Stenis. And we talked about his upcoming bout with Jonathan Bosaku. So, yeah, great to talk to Mr. Tasty Shots. And we're going to be back with Tinder from Porto and much more action like that in about 15 minutes. Love yous. And once again, we are joined by one of the best prospects in the UK and maybe all of Europe. It is Mr. Fabian Edwards, who is in action again at Bellator London. Fabian, how are you getting on, first of all, man?
I'm getting on good, you know. I'm back-to-back camp. I should say back-to-back-to-back-to-back camp, because my third fight, you know what I mean? So I'm getting on good. I feel good. I feel great.
This is a new contract, I believe, right? I mean, tell me a bit about that. Are you happy with your new situation? Is this a big jump up compared to what you were on initially?
Yeah, it definitely is. You know, I think after the last fight, there was like, we need to keep this guy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So they came at me and we spoke money, we spoke about whatever, and I was happy with the deal. So I thought, why not? It's a great deal.
Was there any part of you that was tempted to test free agency? Because a lot of people believe that you are one of these blue chip prospects that does have the potential to cross over to the UFC, and that's not something that every Bellator fighter can do. Well, that's what it's believed anyway.
There wasn't at this point. I thought, you know what, like, I've got my goals are to collect that world title, so I'm gonna collect that world title first before I go to free agent and start testing the waters.
Right. Yeah. And that's something you've always said, right? That was your goal from the outset with Bellator as soon as you got that multi-fight deal, right?
Yeah, that was it, you know, and the goal ain't changed. It ain't going to change. So I'm going to clear that world title, and then we'll look at where else we can go and collect some more world title, because, like I say, I'm in this sport for legacy and also to earn big bucks.
Absolutely, man. I gotta ask you, right, because when this fight was announced, Jonathan Bosaku, a lot of people were kind of saying, well, we wanted to see Fabian have a bigger step up. Is this still a situation that you're in where, you know, you are finding it hard to get people to sign the dotted line to fight you?
People are saying they want to see me step up. I'm asking for the step up. But at the end of the day, Bellator does what Bellator wants to do. So I'm actually for the competition. Really and truly, it would have made perfect sense for me to be fighting Mike Shipman.
Yes.
Cole Main on the London card. That would have made sense. But they've got other plans.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm looking at this card and there's a lot of middleweight action going down. But most prominently with you, I suppose, because of the beef with Shipman, the Koslovan Stenis and Mike Shipman fight is jumping out at me. And as you said, a lot of people thought it would have been perfect for you to fight Shipman on this card. Are you looking for the winner of that fight? Is that what you're looking at next? Because I know how much interest that would provoke. If it is Shipman who gets his hand raised here, a UK versus UK prospect v prospect fight would be absolutely massive.
Yeah, that would be huge. That would be huge. So I'm hoping to get his hand raised, because I think that would set up a huge UK fight. That could even be a main event back in Birmingham. So that's what I'm looking forward to. That's what I'm looking forward to. Bellator put on a lot of middleweight fights, so it gave me a chance to sit back and watch everyone performing, you know, and just see how everyone performing, and let's go from there.
Yeah, and I'm seeing Kent, the guy that you already fought and defeated, is fighting Melvin Manoff. And when I saw that fight, I was like, Jesus Christ, I'd love to see Fabian fight Melvin Manoff. And yeah. I know it's at 205, though, but I mean, there seems to be, I feel like a lot of storylines could be created in this fight, if you get me. I feel like a lot of people could come away from this going, geez, I'd love to see this guy fighting this guy. And because of the action at 185, even the title fight at the top, you could be at the top of people's thoughts coming out of this event, right?
Yeah, that's it. You know, I'm looking to go in there. And I mean, when everyone leaves that night, everyone will be saying, fuck, you know, did you see Fabian's performance? You know what I mean? So that's what I'm leaving. That's what I'm trying to leave, a lasting impression. So there's a lot of middleweights on the card. I'm looking at I'm looking at two middleweight fights, and that's the world championship and Mike Shipman fight.
Right, right. And I mean, that is something, like, you know, that, that often comes with the territory when you fight. You know, the big spectacular finishes, it's your calling card at this stage. But for me, like, you know, you came away disappointed from the Lee Chadwick fight, but that was so impressive to me. Does it feel like, you know, expectations are getting extremely high for you at this current moment where, you know what I mean, you need to do something absolutely out of this world to keep up with your previous form?
Nah, it's what it is. I did, at one point, after the Chadwick fight, I felt that way. And then I've watched it back, and I want to put everything into perspective. When I looked at everything, I thought to myself, the 5-0 guy taking on a guy that's had 38 fights, and I went in there and made him look amateur. So I wasn't so pissed off as I was originally. You know, all my team around me have told me, don't go out there and look for no finishes. Just go out there and just do your job. You know what I mean? And the finishes will come. So, to be honest, yeah, I've got over that stage now. I don't really care. Obviously, I'm a finisher anyway. So, I'm going out there to finish people, but I'm not going out there and trying crazy stuff if I don't see the finish.
Mm. Absolutely, man. I got to ask you about Leon, because UK and European fans are rejoicing at the fact that this RDA fight has been made. I mean, how good does this feel? How good is the mood in the Edwards family after this fight has been announced?
It is a very good mood, you know. everyone's happy. It's about time the UFC fucking pull their finger out, you know what I mean, and give him what he deserves. So I'm happy that they listen to the public, and they've given him, and they've finally given him a top five, you know, and now it's time for that championship. You know what I mean? He's gonna smoke RDA and then make his run for that belt.
Yeah, like, I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. It really frustrates me when I see some of the attitudes people have towards Leon after the resume he's put together. I think it's absolutely ridiculous, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah.
And do you feel like people will come away from this fight knowing that, okay, maybe we had Leon wrong here? Do you believe that this will be the breakout performance? I believe he's already had plenty of breakout performance, but do you believe this is going to be the one that changes the public perception on Leon? Because I think it's well overdue.
Yeah, I think it will. You know, like, it doesn't make sense that how the public view him. Or, you know what I mean? It doesn't make sense at all. You know what? People just jump on. There's just a lot of bandwagon people jumping on. They don't even know the sport too much.
The tree piece with the soda bullshit on the.
Yeah, you know what I mean? You know what I mean? The fucking. Meanwhile, they're saying three piece and a soda. I mean, we're fucking out here fighting and making enough money to buy the whole fucking the soda shop or whatever. You know what I mean? We're making money out here and on winning fights. So, you know what I mean? You got these fat guys at home talking shit. But at the end of the day, when he goes out there and he smokes RDA, people will have to give him respect. You know what I mean? People should, real fans, real MMA fans that knows fighting, they already respect him. So, you know, people jump on the bandwagon after he goes out there and do his job.
Do you really feel that way? Like, when you were speaking about this matchup, first of all, you think he has the ability to smoke Rafael Dos Anjos? We just saw what RDA did to Kevin Lee. I mean, do you believe Leon is capable of going out there and putting on a show-stopping performance, so to speak?
I really do. Like, at the end of the day, I train with this man day in, day out, you know. And everyone in the gym would know how good he is. And then he goes out there and he performs, you know, like his last fight. He's grappling with one of the best grapplers in the UFC.
Yes.
I mean, many people, that wouldn't be the game plan. The game plan would be to stay as far away as I can from Gunnar. You know what I mean? So that to me proves that he's on another level. You know, he's just on another level and he's still growing because he's still young in the sport.
Absolutely, man. And look, let's talk about this fight with Jonathan. Like, I mean, do you go and try to dig up loads of footage on your opponents, or is it just more about you? Do you know what threats this man possesses when he's getting in the cage with you?
Yeah, it's always, I sit down, I watch his fights, but I'm not one of these fighters that goes out there and think, I'm worried about him. I don't worry about anyone. I mean,
that doesn't surprise me to hear that about you, Fabian, to be honest.
I don't worry about fucking nobody at all, and that's not even, you know what I mean, that's just how it goes. I see what he likes to do. I see what he likes to do, then I work different ways and how to stifle that, you know, and stop those attacks, and then that's work on myself. Because at the end of the day, it's about myself. I'm not going to go out there and worry about somebody, because regardless, he's going to do what he's going to do anyways. You know what I mean? It doesn't matter how much I worry. He's gonna try those moves anyway. So I just look at him. I see why he's meant to be good at or what he likes to do. And I just go out there and shut it down.
What do you think? Like, I mean, when you look at this, I know you say you aren't going out there hunting for a finish, but do you believe this man is capable of going the full 15 minutes with you, or do you think it's...
No way. I didn't even want you to finish your conversation. No way is he going to 15, is he going the full 15 minutes. You know what I mean? At the end of the day, I'm not going out there swinging wild punches, but at the same time, from the last two performances, what I've learned from that is I should have picked the pace up. Obviously, the Neto fight, we never really had a chance to see a lot from separation because he's trying to hold on to me for his dear life. But with the Chadwick fight, there's a lot of shots that I should have thrown and could have thrown. And I've learned from that massively. So with Jonathan, I'm looking to go out there. And like the game plan just been to stick it on him. You know what I mean? Stick it on him with movement and some tasty shots.
Mr. Tasty Shots, that's your name,
Mr. Tasty, that's what I'm going to be next Saturday.
Well, does it give you any kind of extra confidence when you know that Neto has come back with that positive test? He was on steroids when he was fighting you, or so the test says. Does that give you an extra confidence, or do you take anything away from that at all?
I don't take anything from it. Because at the end of the day, it doesn't matter how much steroids you take, it's not going to improve your chin, and it's not going to get you better. You know what I mean? Like, if you're a shit fighter, you're a shit fighter at the end of the day. Which, you know what I mean? People think you take all these drugs, it's going to make them work, make them good. But if you're shit, you're shit. You know what I mean? And that's it. You know, fuck it. I don't take anything away from it. You still got chinned. I still walked away with my full paycheck on a fucking viral video. So I'm not bothered about it.
Yes. And I mean, like, just a final question, Fabian. Out of all the European signings, do you believe that you are the biggest success story? Because I certainly am feeling that way. You know, out of all that, the Amorphous signings they made, I feel like you are one of the big success stories of this whole situation.
I think I'm the only one. Like, fuck, you know. Like, I've had more fights than any of these guys that's been signed. You know what I mean? Like, I've had more fights in 5 months. I fought in February and then May, and now I'm fighting June. I mean, a lot of these guys, they haven't fought. So it shows to me that Bellator, that don't need, I mean, Bellator signed them, but Bellator ain't trying to fight them. They ain't trying to fight them every other month. They're trying to fight them whenever they go back to their hometown. So that shows to me that I'm the main guy, you know. It shows to me I'm the main guy, and rightfully so. You know what I mean? I'm going out there performing, so fuck it, you know. I feel like personally I'm not getting help from no one to promote myself. I'm doing my own promotion. Mm. I mean, you got a lot. You got some of these guys. They only where they are because where they train. You know what I mean? They only got contracts because who they know. Mm. You know what I mean? I got contract because I was going out there smacking people's chins off. You know what I mean? And that's how I got my contract from. You know what I mean? Like, so yeah, Bellator knows the star when they see one.
Absolutely, yeah, no, I agree with you. And just finally, like, sorry, I know I said it was already the last question, but I tend
you
to
love
this.
Talking to me, don't you? Yeah.
But you know, like I told you this before, I have so much respect for you after, like, you know, when you told me the story about, you know, you were working as a janitor, a cleaner before you took this fight. Like, it's so pleasing to me to see how your life and your wealth has increased, and, you know, see you driving around in the Merc. I'm very proud of you. but does it feel good? Like, it must feel really good to be earning this kind of money and to be raising your profile the way you are.
It feels good to know that self-belief and hard work and dedication, everything just coming into play, and it's all just starting to make me a proper living. You know, I've booked holidays, I've given my money, I mean, I've looked after my family. So, and it's literally only the beginning. Like, it's only just the beginning. So I'm grateful, forever grateful, you know. Like, sometimes I'm driving around, I think to myself, fuck, you know, man, last year I was driving around, my door was falling off. You know
what I mean? That's the way I'm living now.
You know what I mean? So, I was like, fuck, you know, life changes quick, but, you know what I mean, that never, I'm always focused on it, so I'm always focused on, I'm always trying to achieve more now, so this is only the start, so I'm forever grateful.
Well, long may it last, Fabian. Always a pleasure to speak to you. I can't wait to see the fight, and best of luck to you and your brother going forward.
Thank you.
All the best, my friend.
Thanks. See you soon.
Bye-bye. Bye. Big thank you to Fabian Edwards. Looking forward to seeing that man fight this week, as I always am. While we're on the topic of big fights for the
big
UK,
one, big one.
It's Brendan Loughnane this weekend against Bill Algeo.
Tonight.
Oh, yeah. Sorry. I forgot that we recorded this on Monday and you listened to it on a Tuesday. So tonight,
yeah,
Brendan Loughnane and Bill Algeo. It's not an easy fight, I'll tell you that much. But I don't think I've ever seen someone bring the same amount of traction to this platform as he has. And the UFC should absolutely be noticing this. Manchester United players talking about Tyson Fury.
Yeah.
So many people have been on about
it's
it.
It's absolutely
huge.
Brilliant. It's brilliant. I think I'm happy for Brendan.
Finally,
we've been talking about this guy. We've been interviewing for years. We've known how good he is. You know, obviously, you know, arguably got robbed of a decision right here in Dublin against one of the great European prospects. He's recently retired in Tom Duquesnoy. You know, just a good guy. He was obviously on the Ultimate Fighter season.
The Smashes,
where Norman Park won. He came in, I think he was a 19-year-old at that stage. It's pretty crazy to see how long ago it is. But yeah, as you said, a really tough opponent to Bill Algeo. He was on, I think Dana White picked him up from CWFC in Philadelphia. I think it was CWFC, and it was on Dana's show on YouTube.
Looking for a fight
where he picked him up. So yeah, Bill Algeo is no walkover, a good fighter, but big opportunity from Brendan. You feel as though, you know, he has to take this one.
It's just to play devil's advocate.
Yeah.
The contract has been in front of him beyond a fight a couple of times and it didn't come to fruition. Is there any part of you that's like...
No, I think Brandon's come too far. I think the work's been put in. You know, he's worked with Dominic Cruz for a long, long time. Worked in Manchester, obviously, with Cain Moose.
It would be heartbreaking.
It would.
But this is a real fight, everybody. Like, I mean, and look at Bill Algeo's record. This is no walk in the park. I think this is a step up from Brendan's last couple of opponents. I think Brendan would admit that himself. I think Brendan is certainly a step up for Bill, too.
Yeah, definitely.
It's a really competitive fight. It's worthy of a UFC card.
100%. Oh, definitely. I totally agree with you on... Yeah, I do hope it works out for Brendan. I really do, because he's deserved this, and it's been long overdue. You know, this other stuff might have gone on we didn't know about, but finally it's here, and I don't think he's an option to lose this fight, really. I think it's that
must
big of a fight for him. It is a must win. He's 29 years of age. He's talked about boxing before, the frustrations of not getting a fight and not being able to get fights, so he's told us. So this is it. You know, it's now or never, and I do fancy Brendan for this one.
Let's get to the part that everybody wants to hear most. No, let's get on to it. First of all, tell us how it went in Porto. How did you get on?
Oh, it was great. You know, it was good. It honestly, beautiful city. One of the most beautiful cities I've been to in Europe. Fabulous city. First 3 days, I know we've English listeners listening, but God, your football crowd, they were pretty bad over there. Now, I'm not going to lie, there was bottles being flung and some pretty rough songs being sung. if you're an Irishman, that part was a little bit frustrating because the Nations League was on over there. It was four countries in Porto. The finals were on there, but Stag was great crack. Where the you know NOS Primavera Music Festival, brilliant, you know, brilliant time.
Yeah, it looked like you went on many an adventure while you were there. To be fair,
yeah, no, we did, man. It was good. The Stag, you know, the lads were spiking my drink with tequilas and
Jesus.
My beer. Yeah, some
which had
lads.
No impact on Noel whatsoever.
No, Jesus. So I was brought home on the Friday night, but you know, listen, it was great crack, and I would highly recommend anyone to get over yourself and Elaine, even for you know a break.
Me and Reggie
for 3 or 4 days. It really is a pretty city, and the food was great as well.
Tell us how Tinder went. That's what we all want to know.
Rubbish, absolutely crap.
Why?
I don't know. I really don't know.
Have you been using
it? I must have swiped, I'd say, 1,000 people and I got about 2 matches.
This is bullshit. We're going to have to open up a Gmail and get people to start emailing their profiles.
I'm deleting it. It's a lot of rubbish.
So you'd be open to us starting up a Eurobash Gmail?
Yeah.
So maybe people can, you know, we can source dates for you.
Do it.
And, or you can say...
Well, I'm actually thinking about Love Island now. After, I don't know if you saw my picture on
Thank you
on the
for
beach.
The recall on Love Island. What the hell are you watching Love Island for, my friend? Elaine doesn't even watch it. My girlfriend doesn't even watch that shit.
I just think it's funny.
No, you don't. You love it.
It is. No, it's not. I think some of the girls are pretty hot, but I'm just sort of going, I just look at these lads and I go, what are you doing, lads? I sort of watch for a cringe factor. I don't know. It's a bit weird.
Of course, former Bellator ring girl, something or other, is in there now at the moment.
Yeah, she's not really doing Ireland any.
She's from Longford, isn't she? What's her name?
Maura,
yeah, that's Higgins.
Yeah, she did the Bellator Dublin card here.
Yeah.
Not doing herself, her family,
this is what I don't like about this. Like, they're putting people in there, and you're launching a career basically in there, so the more headlines you create, the better you're going to be when you come out of it. Yeah. Like, the more endorsements, the more recognisable you're going to be. So surely everyone's just in there making shy of themselves.
I can't really imagine her dad's too proud, some of the things she was saying the other night.
Can you give me an example?
No, I don't even want to get into it. Irish. She was pretty just derogatory, like.
Derogatory? Like,
yeah. She was being sexual, just some words she was saying.
Base stuff.
Just pretty disgusting, like. Not becoming of a lady, should we say, Mr. Carroll, if you know what I mean. But no, listen, great fun. Stayed on for a few extra days, went to the beach, got in the Atlantic, freezing cold, man. Holy shit. I've been in the sea now in quite some time. I got in. It was beautiful, though.
I like the channel Mother Ocean.
Refreshing. And
like Diego Sanchez.
Then we went up the coast a little bit. We drove for an hour up to Villa de Conde. Beautiful little town. Boats and shit coming in. And really, really nice. Chilled out.
Your friend Mossy didn't seem too happy with you making Instagram stories with him.
Yeah, because he was a grump.
He didn't look happy. And I began to feel sorry for him as the week wore on.
If you know Anton about, you know, he's John's brother.
He must be a legend then. Two legends.
Jesus.
Respect for the Elliots.
John was even giving out about him. So yeah,
John's not a man to give out about anyone.
Yeah, that's, well, there you go.
My god. Well, but no, siblings will be siblings.
Great spot. Probably need a holiday after it, though. It's one of those ones.
You just always need holidays.
No, I wish. Listen, sure, what's life, man? What's life?
One big holiday.
What's life?
So what did you get me? I brought you back some beautiful alcohol from Porto. What did you get me?
I brought you back my laptop in one piece.
Wow. Can you believe that, guys? Wow. Just leave that awkward silence there for a second.
I'll get you something next
No,
week.
No, it's okay. You didn't think about me. You didn't think about it. It's fine.
I didn't have a bag to check.
No, it's great.
I couldn't even bring my dad port.
No, it's fine.
I had to buy him port from Supervalue and pretend it was from Porto.
Don't worry about it, man. Don't worry about it. That's very hurtful. All the way from Japan. He hasn't even drank it yet. It's disgusting. I went for a walk in the park today with Reggie. And there's army all over Hartstown Park, guards everywhere.
What do you do?
That's what I was thinking. But Blanche, everyone's getting stabbed. Sort it out, lads.
Increase the peace.
Any gang members listening to this, please stop stabbing each other. It's not cool. Jesus Christ, man.
Is it just
terrifying.
An Irish? Like, I sometimes think it is just an Irish thing. Like, I don't know, man.
Lads getting fucking stabbed, man. There's something like four in the last week in. I just think
in Ireland and the UK, we're just a bit, I don't know, like other cities go like Port. Like, I didn't see anything happen bad.
Yeah, it's even mad, in like. Stockholm, that's like, even if people look threatening, they aren't doing shit to you. Like, they aren't actually going to do anything. But in Ireland, it's like, someone's looking threatening, probably going to do something.
And all, the scary people in Porto were at England shirts on, so I knew it was bad. There's bottles going over my head.
Yeah, I get worried about this kind of stuff. Obviously, I have a niece growing up in the area.
Yeah, it's bad, man.
All that stuff.
I'm one down the road a few weeks ago here in Churchtown.
It's
you know,
it's crazy, man. It's just like I just think it's because the country's in shite. Everyone starts acting like shit. Like, and it's just the way it is. Unfortunately,
bad. Increase the peace.
Increase the peace, my loves. Great to have you back. I feel safer in Ireland because you're home, Niall. Is there any chance that you could grow your mustache back now that you've had such?
I had a really big beard till like 2 days ago.
But you had a horrendous look on Tinder. Is it time to maybe bring back the stash?
No, it's time to delete Tinder.
Ariel Helwani has asked for it to come back. Abby from MMA Junkie.
I think Ariel would look good with a stash.
I think he's probably rocked it at some point now. He's always had the beard, I guess, isn't it? Yeah.
Bone fluff.
He's got a solid beard.
Does he?
Yeah, he's got a solid beard. He's got a good hairline too. Could do it.
I'm actually about shaving my head.
You used to have that.
Yeah, I used to do it the whole time.
When you were in your former glory as a rugby player, I saw you. When you were the tallest player on your team.
I think I might do it again. I'm just getting fed up of having hair.
What about a face tattoo?
Yeah, I think I might get the Mike Tyson one next.
Yeah, something like that. Or maybe a Celtic inspired one rather than a Maori one.
Look tough and then try and get in Sky News.
That's it. Yeah. Spit on a few people. Yeah, and everyone's talking about
Paulie Malignaggi.
But there we are. The gruesome twosome are back. We're very tired. We've
loads to watch this weekend, so watch it.
Yeah, we'll be back to here.
Even if you don't like the concept of what Bellator are doing on Sky.
Or Bare Knuckle FC.
Record it. No, forget Bare Knuckle. just record, hit the record button, because that will turn on your machine and they'll say you're viewing it. Just keep watching the shit, lads.
We need every vote counts, as Paddy Hillen says. Thank you very much. We love yous loads. Here's a big kiss. And from Niall, lovely. Thank you. Love yous. Bye bye.